New song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made his salvation known and revealed his righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love and has faithfulness to Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and the blast of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
So that gives us reason to celebrate. Now, celebrations in the Bible are very common. If you're familiar with the Old Testament, one of the most well-known celebrations in the Bible is the Passover. Actually, the entire Old Testament is filled with numerous feasts, festivals, ways to celebrate what the Lord has done for his people. Now, in fairness, many of these celebrations actually continue to happen today amongst our Jewish community. Now, when we get into the New Testament, we can still see celebrations happening. Jesus in Luke chapter 15 gives us the story of the woman who lost a coin. She had 10 silver coins, but then she loses one. And she proceeds to search and search and search until she found it. And what did she do when she found a coin? She celebrated. It says, when she finds it, she calls her friends. She calls her neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." Jesus, in this story and the lost sheep, says this, "In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." So when we come to Psalm 98, we can recognize that this psalm was written with one purpose: to celebrate God, to celebrate the Lord for what he has done for us. So today, as we are nearing Christmas, it is proclaiming to all to hear it and all who read it, let's celebrate. Let's shout for joy. Let's burst into jubilant song and make music. Now, all of us come from various different backgrounds. When you have a celebration, maybe I get a little bit of your feedback. What do you do? Food, all right, excellent. Music. Drink. Dancing, clapping. It's not quiet. I mean, very rarely have ever gone to a celebration and it's quiet. I mean, that's not usually. Yes, there is there's song, dance, clapping, shouting, all these things. And as we look into this psalm, starting in verse 1, what does it say? Sing to the Lord. Sing. And then when you get to verse 4, what does it say? Shout. So we are singing. We are shouting to the Lord. And so we sing to the Lord with a new song, verse 1. For why? For he has done marvelous things. And we might ask ourselves, well, what things? His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Now, this phrase, as we look at verse 1, can be translated in various different ways. It can be sing a new song to the Lord, for he has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won the mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. Now the psalmist is celebrating because the Lord has made this salvation possible. And this is a marvelous thing that he has done. The Lord has made what was impossible possible. There's a restoration. There's a renewal taking place between God and humanity. Because of what the Lord has done, we and people can now be restored into a glorious relationship with the God of the universe. Look at verse 2. Not only has he done this, verse 2, the Lord has made this salvation known. It's been revealed. His righteousness to the nations. He has remembered his love. He has remembered his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now, if you're a keen observer, you might see in these first few verses a particular word that's repeated regularly. It's repeated three times in the first three verses. Anyone take a guess? What word? It's a big, long, good Christian word. Salvation, yes. We have salvation. He, God, has worked out this salvation. And then we see he has made his salvation known and has revealed it. Then we see all of the earth has seen the salvation of our God because he has remembered his love and his faithfulness. Now, a big word that we like to use in Christianity is the word righteousness. Now, we like to use that word all the time when we come inside our church. Oh, righteousness, righteousness, righteousness. But we don't actually use it very often outside of the church walls, do we? I mean, unless it's like a slang word. I mean, I grew up and it was like, ooh, that was righteous. Am I the only one that used it as like a slang word? Sorry about that. Anyway, but we use it, but we find the word here in verse 2, but we also find the same word at the end of the psalm. What are we trying to get at here? If we take a look into, if we want to understand what righteousness is, it's a quick dictionary look up. The term is actually meaning acting according to proper standards is what it can mean. Doing what is right or being right. That's what it means to be righteous. Putting things in its proper standard, doing what is right, or being right. Now the psalmist is saying that God is revealing his righteousness, his proper standards. He is acting and working out in accordance to his standards, revealing what is right and what is just. In other words, what is being revealed to the world, to us, and what God is faithful to, is he is bringing things back to the proper righteous order. He's taking something that was messed up and he's bringing it back to the proper righteous order. How many of you have ever been to castle ruins? A castle ruins anywhere. I mean, I think they're all over Scotland, all over England. You know, a castle that's been bombed, torn down, or whatever it might be. And you might see, and you go up there and you can see the remnants of like maybe the tower. Maybe a partial wall, or you can see some of the tunnels, some of the things. And you can, when you look at the ruins, you can kind of get a glimpse of what it used to look like. You can get a slight image in your mind of what the castle could have looked like. A few months ago, I watched this show. I like these shows where they go to these old houses and they try to restore them. So I watched this old show where it was an old mill house. And they showed the videos of this old mill house, and you can kind of see where the old mill was, the water thing that used to go from the river. You kind of had a glimpse of what it looked like, what it could have been in its glory days, when the river was flowing and the mill was turning and it was creating the energy and doing what it needs to do. Well, this person bought this house, and his family worked for three years to finally get this mill in working order. Taking something that you could only see a glimpse of how it could have worked and bringing it back to its proper place, and it worked. See, in the beginning, when God looked over all the world that he had made, what does the scripture say he said? He saw that it was good. It was functioning as it was intended to function. It was working as it was intended to work. How did it go from that? It functioned with no pain in labor. There was no physical pain for work. There was no pain in childbearing. There was no separations. There were no death. There was perfect unity between man and woman. There was perfect unity between humanity and God. It functioned how it was meant to function. That was until disobedience and sin entered into our world. Humanity chose to go against what God had said. And because of this, there were consequences. God said, man will be eternally separated from me. The pain will begin. The perfect world that was made will be ruined. It will be tarnished. It will seek and now happen and have decay. Now, we still, when we look at humanity, see a glimpse of the goodness. We still see a glimpse of the glory. We still see the glimpse of good, but it's not functioning as it's meant to function. The unity's all messed up. Things are in disarray. This is where we see the psalmist come into the picture. Why do we sing? Why do we have joy? Or how can we have joy? And this is where the psalmist comes. We read, the Lord's righteousness, his salvation, is being revealed. He's showing us how the world in which we live in, that's all discombobulated, this little glimpses that we get of good, can be restored to its proper function. How is this being revealed? Well, it begins in Genesis chapter 3. This is where we all enjoy our carol services, enjoy all these wonderful verses that we are reminded of on a yearly basis. In Genesis chapter 3, just when the sin has happened, God comes and says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike its heel. See, God at the beginning had a plan to restore, to rescue, as it were. Years later, after Adam and Eve, God came to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless your family. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make a nation out of you. And through you, I'm going to bless the world. You can read about that in Genesis chapter 12, page 9 in your Bibles. That's provided for you. See, God initiated this promise, this covenant with Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, if you have time to read that, you can see that this covenant was made in such a way that the promise was given, that God gave this covenant and made in such a way that Abraham couldn't keep it. Only God could keep this promise. Again, years later, God initiated another covenant, another promise to King David. After the nations of Israel was established and King David was a king in 2 Samuel, you can read about it there, how God promised David that your kingdom will be an eternal and everlasting kingdom, that your line, your offspring, will rule the world forever. Now, these promises are at the heart of the psalm. They're at the heart of what the psalmist here. He didn't just know these things as a passing history. He was looking forward to, he was living out, longing for the day when God would come true on these promises, when this eternal Savior would come on the scene. And so he writes in verse 3, he has remembered his love and his faithfulness to Israel. And all the ends of the earth have seen this salvation, have seen this faithfulness. This is why the psalm begins with full assurance saying, sing to the Lord this new song, for he has done these marvelous things because of his salvation. He's working out. He has worked out this salvation. He has made the salvation known, and all the earth have seen the salvation of our God because he remembers. He's faithful to his people. The psalmist is celebrating because the Lord is restoring the world and everything in it to bring it back to its proper order, the righteous order. Now, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see a gospel image in this psalm. We can see why this psalm was an inspiration to the hymn writer, Isaac Watts, and he wrote the wonderful hymn that we sing only once a year, sadly, Joy to the World. This is a wonderful Christmas hymn, and I would recommend maybe one of these days sing it in the middle of July, because the Lord has made his salvation known not just in December, but also in January, February, March, and all throughout the year, because the Lord is faithful to his people. And because of this, because of this great picture of the gospel, God has been working out ever since mankind has fallen. We begin to see how he's revealing his salvation to the covenant of Abraham, then David, then through the prophets. And finally, we read in Hebrews chapter 1, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. Now, we can be reminded of what Jesus said to do. Go into where all the world, make disciples, proclaim this salvation to all the world. I hope you can see how Jesus is a fulfillment of Psalm 98. See, he is the salvation. It was planned. It was worked out through Christ. It is being revealed through Christ. And now we are proclaiming it to the world. And we can have a joyous celebration, not only because of what the Lord has done, because he's worked it out. And he has made it known to us. He has made it known to you. He has revealed his salvation to us through Jesus Christ. And we can proclaim it. So we can sing to the Lord a new song because he's done marvelous things. And now I've already alluded to that Isaac Watts wrote Joy to the World. And I talked to Brian earlier to make sure this verse is on the song we're going to sing as we end. It's no wonder when Isaac Watts writes the song, the one verse that always gets missed in Joy to the World is the best one. It's the verse 3. He says, no more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground, because he has come to make his blessings flow as far out as the curse is found. See, God has come and he has blessed us, and it goes to the entire reaches of the world. So we can sing this new song because he has done marvelous things for us. We know the fulfillment is in Jesus, but the psalmist is writing, and he, though, is longing for the fulfillment, but he still has the full assurance of God's faithfulness. So today we know. We can read it knowing that this is being fulfilled and he's working through. And when we turn to him, recognizing our own frailty, recognizing our own separation from the one who made us, recognize that we can receive, and we turn to him in faith and repentance, and we can receive this salvation. We can receive this restored, this renewed relationship with the holy God that we were intended to have. Just listen to how the psalm continues on. When he thinks about this salvation has been known to him, look at verse 4 and following. Shout for the joy to the Lord. All the earth burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing, with trumpets and blasts of the ram's horn. Shout for joy before the Lord, the King. Let the sea resound and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. Let them sing before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness. He will judge the world according to the righteous way and the people with equity. We think about, isn't that glorious? That we, someone who, the Lord has made his salvation known to us. And we trust in it, and we can shout for joy because we know the righteous judge will come and he will judge rightly. We can have a joyous celebration because of what the Lord has done for us. And we are made right, as we know, because of what Jesus has done for us, taking on the payment that we deserve so we can be made right before him. The psalmist says, shout for joy, burst into jubilant song, make music with the harp, blast of the trumpet, shout for joy. How many of you have ever been in such a good mood where you're walking down the road and you just bust out a song? Anyone? You just break out into a song. Anyone ever been that way? You're just walking down the road and you're like, this is a great day. You know, the sun's shining, and he just burst into song. That's the attitude. That's the feeling. When you think about the salvation that's been made known to you, it just wells up and bursts out. I once was dead, but now I live. If anyone in the world has reason to rejoice, it's those who have seen and experienced the salvation of the Lord. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I've got a new song in my heart because what the Lord has done for me. We can do this personally, but we also can do it as we anticipate the future, because he will restore the world into its proper order. Verse 9, as we've alluded to, he will judge the world in righteousness and the people with equity. This King, Christ, will restore all things back to its proper standard, removing the wicked justly and establishing all things rightly. Just as John writes in Revelation 21, he will make all things new. The psalmist is communicating that the one who provides salvation, the one who gives us, who has revealed to you the salvation, that same person is the one who is making a way for you to have the salvation. It's for his people. He is the King. He is the judge to make all things right again. It is he who is sovereign and king over all the earth. One person wrote this: knowing that the one who has made the promise to rescue us from this terrible world is the same one who is faithful to it because he is sovereign over all of it. Psalm 98, it implores us to shout for joy, to sing, to have jubilant joy. But it's not just the people on the earth, it's calling out for joy. I think the world, even though, I mean, I'm not one who thinks the trees speak to me or anything, but I think that the world is longing, groaning for the new creation. We see it here, not only for all of humanity to sing joy, but look it, let the seas resound. Let everything in the world and all who live, let the rivers clap. Let their clap hands. Let the mountains sing for joy. So not only are the people singing, but all of creation is singing out for this new renewal. I don't know if you've ever been to a mountaintop or you've been to the seaside, or you've even just been on the quiet river, and you just listen to the river clapping against the little bank. Or you've been on the ocean and you hear the massive waves roaring against the seaside or the cliffs. Or you're just in the stillness of an open field and you can just hear the quietness as it sings joy to the one who made it. See, the world and everything in it, it actually exists to sing, to shout, to give praise to the one who made them. It is a joy to the world, all of it, because the Lord has come. And so this Christmas, as it is our first Sunday of Advent, we can have a joyous celebration, not just because of what the Lord has done, but the fact that he did it for you. He did it for us. God has worked on our behalf to bring us salvation. God has revealed this salvation to us, and we can proclaim it, and we can celebrate, and we can give joy to the world. Just like the song says, or the hymn, joy to the world. Why? The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. So what we're going to do, we're going to sing. Is this your first Christmas carol of the year? Joy to the world? I always hope joy to the world is the first one. So we're going to sing Joy to the World, and I'm going to play it for you.